Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Best Ever You Show with your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, and Dr. Katie Eastman. The Best Ever You Show is here to help you live your life to the fullest. How? Real people, including celebrities, real advice, real places, products, and businesses, real life stories. With this radio show, printed magazine, websites, community, and more. And now, here are your hosts, Elizabeth and Katie.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you so much for listening to our show today. Welcome to the Best Ever You Show, and thank you to everyone at Blog Talk Radio for featuring us as a staff pick on blogtalkradio.com. And then also, they did something extremely cool today. They gave us a shout-out on Twitter. So that we thank you so much to everyone at Blog Talk Radio for your support for our show. We have hundreds of thousands of listeners. It's just amazing. Katie and I think we're in our almost third year of doing this now. And Katie, how are you today?
I'm just fine. I'm enjoying the fact that it's not 3 degrees here.
Oh, you know, I took a snapshot of our thermometer inside the house, and it was actually 3.7. So, and I thought that 0.7 really pushed us into the mark of warmth. I don't know. So 0.7, it made all the difference in the world. But yeah, it's cold. Yeah, everybody is pretty cold. But you're in Washington. Is it warm in Washington at all, or snowing?
It's really nice today. Yeah, it's 45, 50 degrees, and beautiful sunny day. It's green. The deer are out in my backyard.
Yeah, well, so the whole East Coast, we're jealous, and it's going to get worse tomorrow too. It's supposed to be freezing and snowing. So what a blessing! There's a blessing there. Find it, right?
Yeah.
Hot chocolate and something, I'm not sure. But anyway, all right, let's keep going here onto our beautiful guest, Christina Mitchell, who's with us. I'm going to introduce her a little bit more, but I want to just, Katie and I are just going to kind of make a little announcement here before we get going. This is a really difficult conversation that we're probably going to have for the hour. This is not a light topic. Katie, interrupt me. This is a difficult topic.
Yeah, it can be really a difficult topic. And, you know, I've been a therapist for a long time, so there's not much I haven't seen or talked about. But for most people, you don't talk about violence with women very easily. It makes us shudder. It makes us cringe. It's uncomfortable. And so I just would ask people to try and push past your comfort zone and listen, because there's really good messaging we all need to share with our daughters and our sons.
Sons, yeah.
Absolutely.
Everybody.
And you're a mother of four boys, and I have a 10-year-old daughter. And, you know, it is really a valuable and important topic, and it is uncomfortable. It has to be. If it wasn't, we wouldn't be human.
Well, I called you before the show, and I'm like, how do I get through this whole show without saying the word vagina on air? And I'm like, we were both like, this is uncomfortable. Because, you know, normally our shows are pretty, they just don't go there. Toward things. And what'd you say to me?
He said, I said, you know what I loved on Grey's Anatomy? She came up with this idea of calling it the vajayjay or something. And I laughed so hard because I'm okay with saying it. I've been saying it as a therapist for years, but a lot of people aren't. So I think it's okay for people to say what they need to say to get through the conversation. But what's most important is they get through the conversation, that they hear the message.
Yeah, and that's what I'm not here to make anybody uncomfortable. And Christina, hi. How are you?
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm fine. I can say vagina free and clear, so I can cover you both.
Okay, perfect. Yeah perfect. Because, you know, and I think it's a really good representation on the call here of comfort levels.
It's fantastic. I mean, I'm glad you brought it up. I mean, that is one of the reasons that Eve Ensler, who wrote the Vagina Monologues, even started having the conversation to begin with, because it has been a taboo word, a scary word. It's very clinical sounding. People are often ashamed or embarrassed. And she has really revolutionized the word and reclaimed it and owned it and spread it, so to speak.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So well, it's taking an ownership of it, which I really like.
Well, let me okay, so for people listening, there are some websites here involved. As we go through the call today, you can go to 1billionrising.org. And then also there's V-Day on Twitter. If you want to go follow on Twitter, it's V-Day. And let me just tell you a little bit about Christina before we get going here. Christina is an actress, director, producer, and activist. You're originally from Minneapolis, Minnesota. I'm guessing I see St. Olaf College, which is where – didn't Brianna Brown go there too?
She did. We lived in the same dorm freshman year.
Okay. Hi, Brianna. There's a connection there. That's funny. And I'm from Minneapolis too, so I love my Minneapolis girls. And then you are a graduate of the London Academy of Music and Dramatic Art, and you moved to Los Angeles from London about 3.5 years ago. So you went – how did you do this? You went Minneapolis, London, then Los Angeles, or were there some steps in between? Okay.
Yes, it was Minneapolis, London, L.A.
Cool. And this year marks your third year producing, directing, and acting in the Vagina Monologues for V-Day in Los Angeles to raise money and awareness for V-Day and then also a window between worlds, all to help end violence against women and support survivors. I want to mention you're a member of a team of our experts on Best Ever You called the New Hollywood, and you can visit their website at thenewhollywood.org. We can talk about what they do a little bit more. But what you're here really to talk about today is that you're an organizer in Los Angeles for 1 Billion Rising. What is 1 Billion Rising?
1 Billion Rising is a global strike that's happening on February 14th of this year, on Valentine's Day. And basically, the UN came out with a statistic that one in every three women on the planet today will be beaten or raped in her lifetime. And that equals 1 billion women on the planet today will be beaten or raped in her lifetime. And this is V-Day's 15th year of raising funds and awareness to end violence against women. And when that statistic came out, first of all, 1 billion is an atrocious number. I think one is an atrocious number. One is too many. So V-Day has decided to claim February 14th with a global strike. I think almost every country except for 14 at this point are participating. We're trying to get 1 billion people to rise up and dance and celebrate and show the world that we are 1 billion strong instead of the victim of that statistic. And I actually have a quote about it from Eve Ensler that is really inspiring. She said that when we started V-Day 14 years ago, we had the outrageous idea that we could end violence against women. 1 Billion Rising is an appreciation, amplification, and an escalation. When 1 billion bodies rise and dance on February 14th, 2013, we will join in solidarity, purpose, and energy and shake the world into a new consciousness. Dancing insists we take up space. It has no set direction, but we go there together. It's dangerous, joyous, sexual, holy, disruptive. It breaks the rules. It can happen anywhere, at any time, with anyone and everyone. It's free. So Eve Ensler, the founder of V-Day and the author of Vagina Monologues, wrote that quote. And so that just gives me goosebumps reading that, the power that one day will have for all of us.
That is so beautifully said. And you know what jumps out at me, Christina, is that I have a 10-year-old daughter who, when we were first talking about when she's in a bad situation, she came up with a quote all on her own, "When in doubt, dance out."
Oh,
so
dancing, I love that one.
Yeah, and dancing is so spiritual and so exactly what Eve said in that quote. It's such, and what I love about this is you're not, when you say the word strike, you don't mean a violent strike. You mean a spiritual strike. You mean we are standing up spiritually with strength. And
that's
really unique. Yeah. It's a celebration of women and women's power and the power all of us have to change. That's marvelous. That's really unique.
I think
how did it come about?
Well, V-Day or 1 Billion Rising?
1 Billion Rising. How did it
really mean? Eve Ensler started it, started the concept after she heard that statistic. And you know, V-Day has been working for, this is their 15th year, to raise awareness and end violence against women. And when that statistic came out, you know, it really shook her, as it would anybody. I mean, one in three women on the planet to be raped or beaten in her lifetime. It's just an atrocity, and she wanted to turn it into a revolution, to really engage so many people that you feel the earth shake, you feel a shift towards a different life where we can shake awareness, give people the courage and the strength to leave a situation that is horrible for them, involve, shake awareness and educate certain people that are engaged in violent acts themselves, and just show the world that we are aware and we refuse and we are coming at you with some serious strength.
How do we get this message across in countries where, for example, I'm seeing girls shot for trying to be educated, or people shot for trying to get a divorce, or just the repression is incredible. And you can, do you think with that repression also comes violence?
I think it's specific to every situation, and a lot of times it can. I think, again, it has to do with an education and an empowerment, so that if a woman finds herself in a situation where that is happening, it's an empowerment of how she can move forward and leave that behind and leave the situation. I studied in Morocco when I was at St. Olaf, and I still have a very good friend of mine who's my friend on Facebook, and he sees all of my posts about 1 billion rising, and he just wrote to me and said, I'm so glad that you're doing this, because still in Morocco, in his country, if a woman is raped and she brings her rapist to trial, that rapist has the power to get off if, with no charges, nothing, no imprisonment, nothing, if he marries his victim. So, and the woman has no choice.
That makes sense.
So that woman is forced to spend the rest of her life with her rapist, and then he has no punishment whatsoever. And
I can feel Katie's blood boiling.
Yes. I'm sweating just out of my right armpit just thinking about it. I only sweat out of one side. But when he said that to me, I sent him the link to 1 Billion Rising, and I said, whatever you can do to start a rising where you are, please do it. You know, he has daughters. I said, please stand up for yourself. He's obviously a very wonderful and kind man, and he thinks that law is atrocious, as do I. And I think it's about awareness. It's about us as women taking care and reaching out to those individuals that we know and finding those connections and giving women the strength to, you know, stand up to government officials, to say no.
Are there men in here who are like, don't want me in this category, I'm going to join this cause?
Of course. We call them vagina-friendly men, which can have so many purposes, depending on who you're talking to. Yes, there are many men. Robert Redford is on board for the campaign, the Dalai Lama. Actually, the governor of Los Angeles is on board with A Window Between Worlds, their I Can, We Can project, their latest art project. And he's on board with them. There are so many men involved because it's not, first of all, not just women experience violence. Children and men experience violence as well. But there are so many wonderful men who want to support the women in their lives, their sisters, their mothers, their lovers, their daughters, their grandmothers, and put an end to this violence as well. So 1 Billion Rising is not just about women rising. It's men, women, and children. We are all rising together, and I have plenty of men coming to my risings. I made sure of that.
Yeah. Well, I was waiting for Katie. Did we lose your connection, Katie?
No. I was just trying to think of how to say this, but I really think that, you know, the therapist in me, when I hear what you're saying, is just wanting to get up and do the happy dance, because I've just been with so many women and men who don't understand the subtleties of what they say and how that disempowers a woman in a relationship to feel like she's not worthy enough to stand up. And how do you guys talk about that message? How do all of us do that? I mean, how do all of us instill that message?
I think it's such an important point, because I think a lot of people in their head have an idea of what abuse is and who it happens to. Maybe it's a certain socio-demographic, or maybe it's a personality, somebody who is, you think, is meek and quiet or something like that. And that's just, it's not true. There is no rhyme or reason to where abuse happens and how it happens. And the first year that I did the vagina monologues here, there was this horrible, horrible email going around. It said it was from a student at USC, a male student, a frat situation. It was going around through his frat house about how to slip Rohypnol into drinks and how to rape women and how yes means no and or no means yes and so on. It was absolutely disgusting and very thorough. And we read it around our cast, and women in my life at that time just kind of came out of the woodwork in telling me their own personal stories, what I called their own vagina monologues, about how they had been beaten and raped and date raped and abused and verbally abused. And I was absolutely shocked at, A, the amount of women that came to talk to me in my life, and, B, you would have no idea. You know, very, very savvy, strong, independent women that do not share one shadow of anything that's happened to them.
You know,
and
I just Googled signs of domestic abuse and domestic violence or violence against women in Google, and all of these pictures of people with black eyes and bruised lips and slap marks across their face come up and so forth. But in the middle of all of it is a few people who are not that way, and then this kind of like a wheel of what violence might be.
Yeah.
Does violence necessarily have to mean rape or hit, or are you talking about things like economic abuse, intimidation, emotional abuse, you know, all of using children, blaming, you know, all of the things on sort of like the wheel of what could be perceived as violence?
Yes, that is violence as well. Verbal abuse is a big one that people often don't even realize
that
it's happening to them.
Can we go through these for a minute? I just want to read these off, and Katie, you could probably read them off in your sleep, but I'm going to, I know you know this from a therapy standpoint, but they are, you know, take a look around you at all, at the women that you know, because what you're saying is maybe one in three of us are experiencing or will experience in our lifetime some type of violence toward us, which means using coercion and threats, using intimidation, using emotional abuse, using isolation, blaming, denying, minimizing, using children, using male privilege, and using economic abuse. And in the middle of it is all power and control with physical, sexual violence.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of
stuff.
Exactly.
And it is. And what I always say is that if you're afraid, if you're afraid by someone else's actions that you're going to experience being physically or emotionally harmed, that's violence. That's really my definition of it. And if it instills fear, then that's not supportive. That's not kind. That's not what you're deserving of in relationship with someone else. And I think really one of the biggest and most important things you guys are doing in 1 Billion Rising is you're raising awareness to have people even talk about it. Just like we did, that, you know, you did with the vagina monologues, or Eve did with the vagina monologues. I mean, you're right. When I went, the number of stories that came out afterwards was remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think people don't even have a clue of where violence starts.
No, I think a lot of people think it comes just with a bruise, and it's not the case. And that rape happens in a dark alley because you wore a short skirt, which is absolutely atrocious. You should be able to wear whatever you want to wear, and you can wear what you want to wear, you know. But rape can happen between a husband and a wife.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know,
it can happen, and it starts very subtly sometimes and moves to that place.
Yeah.
Very rapidly.
Katie, I just have a question, and this just comes pure out of a question. Does some acts of rape start within family as well, as far as like some of the closest people to you might harm you in some way? Do you have to be watchful for that? Or is is that more of an occurrence or less of an occurrence than maybe like a random crime? Do you know?
Well, you're talking about incest, and you're talking about a whole different, it's part of violence, absolutely. But what my point is that by talking about it in general, we start the dialogue about what are the signs. And what I always say as a therapist and in my whole life is, if you're uncomfortable with the way someone's behaving towards you and you're afraid, something's not right. So I teach my child and other children, something's going on if you're afraid in a relationship. And I think that that's the first step, is people need to really understand that none of us deserves to feel afraid in relationships, period. And that what 1 Billion Rising is saying is, you know, look, we've not only ignored the signs of simple fear, we've allowed people to go all the way to rape. And it's time we stopped and started to talk and speak up. And yes, incest happens all the time. So
I think my question was, is that more likely to happen than a random crime? In other words, I'm trying to really give people not only the education that you're trying to give them, or, you know, if it feels uncomfortable or you're fearful or things like that, but also, you know, to try and help people who might be standing silent. They might be quiet about it. And how do you recognize and how do you help people get to the point of being vocal? Because a lot of people suffer in silence and are not vocal about it.
Right. And that's what Christina's whole effort is to try to get people to talk to someone, to admit, to acknowledge. And dancing is just a really powerful metaphor for you deserve to dance, not feel afraid, not cower.
Right.
So anyway, I'm Christina, I'm wondering, can you tell us more about what actually happens on V-Day?
Absolutely. In the past, V-Day it started just off as a day on Valentine's Day. It stands for Valentine's, it stands for vaginas, and then it became an organization, and it was just one day, but now there is an entire V season that starts on Valentine's Day and ends at the end of April, and for the past 15 years, across the world, productions of the Vagina Monologues and other plays that Eve Ensler has written go up around the world. It's mostly the Vagina Monologues, but she's written a lot of other plays as well that go up. And it's, you know, organizers like myself volunteer their time and their efforts to raise money with their productions and awareness to stop violence against women. And I think I have a statistic here. Hold on one second. So V-Day, it's like a global activist movement to end the violence. And last year, in 2012, there were over 5,800 V-Day benefit events that were produced by volunteer activists just around the world. And that's nearly 6,000 events, productions, which is absolutely fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And V-Day itself has funded over 13,000 community-based anti-violence programs and safe houses all over the world as well. And I personally love the play. I think it's great for men. I think it's great for women. I think it's great for children, maybe of a certain age, because some of the subject matter is very sensitive, dealing with rape and whatnot. I think the thing that's most surprising when you see the play is it's funny. It is hysterically funny. And and you laugh and et cetera, et cetera. And last year when I was producing it, I was at an event and talking to this fella, and he was pretty sarcastic about the fact I was directing the Vagina Monologues and not really on board. And so I said to him, let me ask you a question. Where do you come from? He said, Philadelphia. I was like, no, you come from a vagina. That's your hometown. So it's time to pay that some respect.
Yeah, I'm curious what the response was there.
He just kind of looked at me. I was like, it's time to pay it some respect. You know?
Yeah.
You know, it's it's how we are brought into the world most times. We're brought into the world from a woman's body, and we need to pay some reverence to that. It's an incredible thing. What I love about V-Day and what inspires me about it is, you know, Eve Ensler didn't start out with the thought of V-Day. She started out just asking questions about vaginas to women across the world. She had 200 vagina interviews, and nobody was talking about it. It was such a taboo subject. You know, nobody wanted to use the word. Everyone was embarrassed. You know, people don't like to look at it, et cetera, et cetera. And she started that dialogue, and it got women talking about their stories, their trials, their tribulations, their celebrations, their things that have destroyed them, all to do with their vaginas, women of all ages across the world. And every vagina has not just a story, multitude of stories, you know, tragic and wonderful. And she was brave enough to ask the question, and that question turned into a dialogue that really opened people up. And that dialogue became a fantastic play. And that play became a movement. And that movement is changing the world for the better. I'm just so inspired by her because she is one woman. And her one brave thought has become this epic season, V-Day season, and 1 billion rising, all from being brave enough to ask a question and put something on the table. I think that's so inspiring.
It is, and that's very inspiring, and that's what Elizabeth was asking. You know, if someone's in a situation where they don't feel like it's right, the first step is to ask a question, is it right? And ask that question of the right person.
Yeah, I think that's what I was trying to get you to say, because I don't envision somebody in a really bad circumstance right now is going to be, you know, listening to the show and automatically going, okay, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to organize a V-Day. I think we have to give people listening who might be in trouble, because there, you know, there's a variety of people listening to this show. Some people might be listening to the show thinking, I'm in a really bad situation, I need out of it, what do I do? And other people are like, oh, you know, I'm familiar with this, and you know, all that stuff. And so I think it's really important to give the people who are at the very fundamental basic level of realizing that they're in a violent situation of any kind a place to go. Or something to ask or something to do, some place to start. And I like what you just said, Katie, because to ask a question. But where do you go with that? Because you might make a friend uncomfortable. You might make, you know, there's so many roadblocks, it seems like. I think that's why violence is so hidden. I mean, it's just so roadblocked.
I think it can be really scary to come to a friend with anything. A, because sometimes violence can be very confusing, especially if you're being manipulated. You think that you egged it on or you deserved it in some way, in some instances. In other ways, violence, you don't want to shame the person who did it to you because you love them, and you don't want to defame their name. And a lot of times you're scared. You're scared you won't be believed. You're scared of what happens when you bring light to the situation, if it might get worse. But there are so many rape crisis hotlines you can call. There are so many women's shelters around the U.S., around the world, that provide free counseling to help you, a safe haven for you to go, where you can tell your story that you need to tell and find the help that you need to get out of the situation and move forward. And I think a lot of times you might be stuck in a situation where, you know, it could be financial. You're stuck. You can't leave because you don't know how you're going to survive. But if you're scared to talk to a friend, just remember a friend is there to be a friend. Reach out to a friend, or reach out to
a safe great organization to reach out to. Yeah, I mean, this might be a great organization to reach out to with all the people on Twitter and Facebook and everything. This might be just a great way to get people to speak up.
Yes, V-Day and 1 Billion Rising, and there's also Men Rise for the men who are rising as well. You can follow all of them on Twitter. And also just, I live in Los Angeles, and locally A Window Between Worlds, the charity that I volunteer for and who are the beneficiary of my production every year, they have shelters throughout the United States. They work with shelters throughout the United States. So there are resources. There are people you can talk to. You can find things online. You can send a private message, you know, on Facebook via V-Day and reach out and try to find help locally wherever you are. But I think the big thing is to empower whoever's in trouble and let them know that your life can be so much better, as scary as it is, and you can find the support and the strength to leave your situation.
Yeah. Is it, Katie, is it off topic to ask, is there any education that's going toward men to say, don't do this, this is not acceptable? And Christina, is there anything like that? I'm just sort of flipping it around. As a mother of four boys, you know, the last thing I would ever want is for one of my kids, you know, as a grown adult, to hurt a woman, of course. And so is there any education that goes to men, young men, whatever, that says this is what's acceptable and this is what isn't?
You know,
maybe assuming people don't know what's acceptable or not. I don't know.
I think there was a picture going around on Facebook, part of the Rising, and a woman who is a freshman in college, and she said that in her first week of college, they have the campus lectures and whatnot to get you assimilated to your new home, and they said she had to go to a how not to get raped lecture.
Yep.
And she said, I'm rising because I had to attend a how not to get raped lecture instead of my school teaching do not rape. And I think that's the shift that we need to make.
That's kind of what I mean. It's like, how not to get raped?
Sure.
Excuse me. You know, where do you walk on? What sidewalk do you walk on to not have that happen? What sidewalk do I walk down? You know?
And, you know, there was a woman wearing a short skirt saying she was raped wearing her short skirt, and her friends blamed her for dressing provocatively. And then there was a woman in a hijab, and she said, you know, cover her face and every limb and everything covered. And she said, well, I wear this, and I still got raped. What's your excuse now?
Right.
And
they're
so
really,
I was taught not to wear your hair in a ponytail because it's easier to grab you from behind and rape you. So I would be scared walking home from school down the dark alley in London when I was in grad school. I'd be like, oh, I'd take my ponytail out.
Wow.
And we need to shift the awareness and shift the education into a respect of women and, you know, do not exercise your power or authority or strength or what you perceive to be that by creating this heinous act that can really, really ruin somebody.
Well, and there are people who get it, who are introducing into health classes in schools positive relationship skills.
Yeah.
Because they're recognizing that that is where it starts. It starts with kids. It starts with boys. It starts with girls. It starts with how do they talk to each other? How do they allow themselves to be talked to each other? And I was, you know, my health class back in, well, I won't even say when, but in prep school, we did. We had a great, honest conversation. Yeah, really. But we had a great conversation, and we were boys and girls in the same room, and we all talked about, well, that's not okay, and that doesn't feel good, and this is not good, and don't you dare say that to me, and I'm not going to let you do that. And we had dialogue because an interested and a well-educated adult started to ask the question, you know, what does it feel like for you as a girl if a boy does this? Or what does it feel like for you as a boy if the girl does this? And, mm-hmm. and that's where we started. We started in health class when we were younger.
And that's where you have to start when you're young. Because, we were all taught, maybe through society rather than school, but if the boy pushes you down on the playground, it means he likes you. So if you grow up with that thought of, oh, if he's teasing me or aloof or rude to me, it's because he likes me, and that's what goes into your head, and then you grow up with that thought, and then you have a series of ridiculous relationships with kind of horrible people until you realize, oh, wait a second, I'm worth a lot more than that. I'd like a nice one now, please. You know, but it's that kind of, oh, if he's aloof and a little bit, pardon my French, but a jackass, and verbally abusive or something, just a little bit detached, it means that he really likes me. And that it's taught from a very young age, that sort of schoolyard banter.
Okay, I want to ask you something very deeply personal, and you can give a big pass on this if you want to. I'm going to put you on the spot here. Did anything happen to you in your life that makes you so passionate about this cause that you would share with everybody?
I will say this. I have experienced some forms of violence. By no means is my story what I consider super tragic, but I have been in a couple of situations a couple times in my life that have shaped me into making me very passionate about changing this. Yes, I've experienced some violence, and it's very strange because in one case it was very verbal, and I didn't even realize that it was happening, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I was manipulated to the point where I thought I deserved what I was being told about myself over and over again. And other things have happened too, so on a physical level. But like I said, it's not even close to what a number of my friends and family have experienced. But it is personal. But it's also to me, if this is human against human, and we are all one race, and we should be celebrating and supporting each other, not turning on one another and taking away power and strength and hope,
dignity.
Yeah, taking away
dignity,
simple dignity,
and love, and
and your ability to trust. It's human against human, and to me that is something that can be stopped because it's a choice you can make.
Do you think every person in the world? Let me back that up. Every woman in the world knows somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody, or is it? Are we getting to the point where it's firsthand knowing somebody, or removed a few places? But do we all pretty much know somebody that this has happened to in some form at this point?
I think we all know somebody. Yeah,
you do.
I think
Katie
that
does.
We all know somebody. I mean, I've got my best friend sat here at the table. She knows people.
Yeah,
I know people. I'm surprised at the number of women in my life that have experienced rape, incest, verbal abuse,
shocking,
physical abuse.
It's
absolutely shocking. It's disgusting. That's what it is. And
it's time to do something about it. I mean, I'm so proud of this. I know when this first came across the desk here, I was like, oh boy, this is a really touchy topic. And I emailed Katie, and Katie and I had a discussion about whether to bring this on air or not, because it's a really touchy topic. And we decided to, didn't we, Katie?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I was like, yes.
I not only know
good friends that have had this experience, but daughters, their daughters.
Yes.
And that infuriates me. Mm-hmm. And Christina, one of the things that I want to ask you is when you must at times get discouraged at the numbers and the numbers and the numbers rising and the stories, and how do you deal with that? How do you stay inspired?
There are so many statistics out there, and I mean, just in the U.S., there are over 3 million incidences of domestic violence every year. And a third of the women who go into the emergency room in hospitals are there for injuries of domestic violence, and 4,000 women die a year in the U.S. because of domestic violence, and it's horrifyingly discouraging. And I think the way to stay inspired, especially if we all look to our network and we know somebody that has survived something, and you look and see how they are thriving, and you take your personal experiences and you use them to empower and to educate and to express in a positive way. And that's what I love about V-Day and A Window Between Worlds. They use art as a healing tool. So if it's very difficult for you to talk about something, they hold these artist workshop, and you create something beautiful, and you pour your heart and your soul into creating something, and it expels what you're feeling inside but can't express. And there are so many outlets like that, and I love the idea of taking something horribly negative and turning it into something positive for the world. That's what inspires me. A Window Between Worlds, they have this amazing painting on their wall, and it was done by a victim of incest. And it's this kind of gorgeous, swirly, whirling dervish painting with these strips of fabric sewn into her dress, and it's just stunning. And the story behind it is she was a victim of incest, and the first time that she decided to have sex on her own by choice, she was wearing the skirt, and she put that skirt in the painting of this freedom dancer. And I just get goosebumps every time I see it, every time I think about it, just the fact that she remembered that material that was clinging to her skin when she got to choose to have sex for the first time. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, is empowering. That's somebody celebrating what they have become despite of what has happened. And they also had a project called Pearls of Wisdom, where the whole premise was, in order for a clam to produce a pearl, you need an irritant. So your irritant is your abuser, and you create this pearl, and the pearl is a beautiful thing in the world. And you are who you are, and you can move forward with something beautiful, even though you had an irritant to create who you are today. And it was just gorgeous and brave to create something. I think there's so many ways to move forward and to claim things, and for people to celebrate and dance and stand up. I think that on February 14th, sometimes I get so excited about 1 billion rising that I can't sleep. My heart starts palpitating because I literally think it's going to feel like the biggest earthquake in the world in the most positive way.
Let's go there for a minute and talk just a little bit about what a flash mob might be, because it sounds like you've got some flash mob stuff.
We've got some flash mob plans here in L.A.
Now,
well, there are going to be flash mobs across the globe. You can go onto the 1billionrising.org and find a rising near you. We have a lot of events in LA, and one of them is going to be a flash mob, and it's a large group of people coming together, and we are going to dance and probably shock the hell out of some passersby. Good.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fantastic celebration. And Debbie Allen choreographed something fantastic that is going global, and my dear friend, you know her, Alexis Cara.
Yep.
She is a fantastic dancer, actress.
Yeah.
Choreographer. She's going to be teaching the dance to everyone who's joining it here in LA. I encourage people to sign up online and join the flash mob. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. You know, it's 5 minutes, but I think it'll be really exciting.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it sounds. Now, how many people? How many people does it take to have a flash mob? That's not like three people. I mean, how many people are in a flash mob these days? What makes a flash mob?
I think, you know, you can rise with a flash mob as, you know, 10 people, 20. I think right now we have close to 100 signed up.
Awesome.
All dancing together, and hopefully more. I'd love to see more. We have, you know, about 5 other nonprofits on board that are going to join us. So it's pretty exciting. It's getting big, and I think that the place that we've chosen to do it will raise some attention.
Yeah, and to get to do something like that, is that the 1billionrising.org website that people would need to go to, or is that a different site?
Yes, go to 1billionrising.org and go to Start or Join a Rising. And if you want to start your own rising, do it. Or you can put your zip code in, and you can find, or postcode, depending on if you're global, you can find a rising near you or many. We also have, it's also Art Walk downtown LA that night, so I'm having an art show with some of the survivors from A Window Between Worlds, their art that they've used as a healing tool to move forward from their violence that they've experienced. They're displaying that. There's a lot of fun events that you can find anywhere. You won't be able to ignore it, I don't think. I think everyone, at least I hope, everyone experiences some part of 1 Billion Rising, whether they take part or witness it.
Now, I know, Katie, I'm interrupting you for 1 second. I'm sorry about that. But just, I can tell this call is really meaningful to a lot of people just because I'm on the switchboard and I can see how many people are listening.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything you want to say to the people listening right now? Maybe we've got to just just taking a moment to just really be serious about this topic, because it clearly affects a lot of people.
I want to say, if you're in trouble, please seek out help and know that you have the courage and the strength within you to leave the situation you're in and to move forward and have a much better life for yourself. And there is hope. You can find help and you can move forward, whatever your situation is. I encourage you to reach out. For other listeners, I encourage you to join Arising. And this is no joke. These statistics are real. This is happening to us, to our daughters, children, grandmothers. It's imperative that we come together globally as a human race and put an end to it. You know, the V-Day tagline is "Until the violence stops." And even A Window Between Worlds, they've been running, they're into their third decade. Nobody wants their nonprofit organization to end violence against women to stay in business, if that makes sense. They want more reason to have to fight for it. So, it's great that Windows has been around for 20 years and V-Days in their 15th season, but nobody wants that to continue. They want there to be no cause for it, and globally with genital mutilation and even marriages at a young age. It goes on and on.
The lady in India
on
the bus.
Yes.
Katie, I want to ask you a question here as a therapist for a minute here. And
sure.
I want to really talk to somebody who might be listening who has experienced something like this, has maybe removed themselves from the situation, or it's happened to them and they're dealing with the pain from it still. Can you talk a little bit about how to heal, if it's possible?
Well, one of the things that I think Christina said that was hugely important is what we talk a lot about on this show, turning pain to purpose.
Right.
And one of the easiest and quickest ways to heal is to take your story and help someone else. And eventually you can get to that place if you acknowledge that you've been hurt. And the first step is acknowledging it happened, acknowledging what it did to you, and then making a choice to say, my life is worth more than that, and I'm going to choose to treat others differently, and I'm going to choose to tell other people to have themselves treated differently. And that begins a ripple of healing. And the first part is admitting it happened, getting help in coming to a place where you've healed enough. But I really do believe that one of the best things anybody can do in any situation of such serious pain is help someone else. It really does make a difference. But acknowledgement is very hard for a lot of people.
There are a lot of women out there. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, there are a lot of women. There are a lot of silent women out there.
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying. Like silent suffering, and then also, could it perhaps be 20 years before somebody might say, this happened to me and I've been grieving about this and been in pain about this for 20 years, 5 years, 10 years, pick your number, whatever. You don't just have this happen to you and wake up the next day or the day after or 2 days later and say, this happened to me and I'm going to go help somebody else now.
There are a lot of wounded people out there who are addicted to something or who have gone on to have very destructive relationships and destructive lives because they never healed. They never helped themselves heal. And it doesn't have to go away. I mean, it's the kind of experience that doesn't ever go away.
Okay, yeah.
But you learn to cope with it and you learn to use it as part of who you are.
I think the question somebody might be asking is how? How do you cope with something like that that's happened to you? It's so horrendous.
You get help. You get help.
Okay.
And you get help from people who know how to do that kind of work.
But what
and
if
that's
it's
a
so
very,
embarrassing
that's a,
and humiliating? What if it's even more embarrassing and humiliating? I'm just trying to, do you know what I mean?
Believe me, I do. I've worked with a lot of women like this and a lot of men. I've worked with men and women, and I've worked with abusers. I've actually worked with both. I've worked with little kids who were abusive. I mean, I've worked on both sides of the coin here.
Right.
And the bottom line is, yes, it's hard, but it's worth it. to take the first step, which is acknowledging it, and talk to someone. Someone. And one of the things I want to say is, if anyone's listening here and they're in a horrible situation and they need to leave and they're scared, and this is all the time this happens, your first step is just get out. Figure out what you're going to do later, but get out. Go to the emergency room, go to the police station, go to a public place, but get out. And a lot of people don't get out because they don't know where to go. Figure that out later. Just get out.
I think that's a very important message, and I also wanted to piggyback on that and say, you know, to the people who find themselves having done something to somebody else, the abusers, so to speak, whether it be a lifelong action or a one-time situation, whatever it is, seek help as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Find what's driving that behavior and nip it in the bud.
Right.
You know, that's right. The way we need to move forward. It's not just for the survivors and the victims, but the people that are the inflictors, they need to find help as well to just admit and realize and move forward.
Well, and the other thing, too, along that line, Christina, too, is, don't you believe that, I think what 1 Billion Rising says is, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem if you don't speak up.
Right.
Meaning, if you are a witness to violence, if you are in a friendship with someone who you know is being abused, not speaking up is being part of the problem. Speak
and
up.
That might take an uncomfortable conversation as a friend, but an honest friend is a far better friend than somebody who will sit by and watch you get hurt.
Right.
Yeah. What is awbw.org?
That's the website for A Window Between Worlds.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. So we have 1billionrising.org, thenewhollywood.org, and awbw.org, because there's a lot of new people who just joined in the call. And we're talking with Christina Mitchell, who is the Los Angeles, what do I call you? You're the Los Angeles organizer for 1 Billion Rising.
I'm one of them.
And you are... Tell me what you do. You are an actress, and do you direct the Vagina Monologues in Los Angeles as well?
Yes,
tell me
I
what
do.
You, okay. And what do you have going on with that this year? How can people see that, and what are the plans for production there?
Our plans thus far, we are currently this week finalizing our location as to where we'll be producing it. It looks like, I mean, I'm just putting a shout out there, hopefully it'll happen, that it'll be April 13th on a Saturday at 8 p.m. at the Los Angeles Theater Center downtown. Like I said, we're still finalizing the paperwork on the location, but you will be able to find that information on the 1 Billion Rising website once it's finalized. Also on the V-Day website, you can find productions of the Vagina Monologues all over the world on the V-Day website. So you'll be able to find the one that we do in downtown Los Angeles on that.
Okay. I just wanted to give us an eye on time. We've got about 7 minutes left. Katie, did you want to bring anything up? Because I know you have so much information.
Well, part of what I really want to encourage the listeners is to think about your kids and really think about your kids and the messages you send them and encourage them to get involved in 1 Billion Rising. I mean, kids should be dancing out there, too. We all need to speak up. And I'm wondering if Christina has any thoughts about anything that a child might do on that day.
Oh, I've got children in the flash mob.
Yeah.
I fully expect my dogs to rise as well.
Yep.
Yes. Everyone's going to be rising. Men, women, children. There are so many events. You can join a dance, a flash mob. There are concerts. They could come to the art show that we're having. There are plenty of family-oriented events happening all across the world, because this rising is about everyone. It's about the human race.
Valentine's Day, which is such a beautiful day to do it, because it's really, you know, and forgive me, but I can't remember who said it, but a long time ago there was a philosopher who said, you know, the world is really about two things, love or fear. And really, let's make it about love on Valentine's Day, and let's eliminate those fearful things that happen in behavior that create this kind of violence. That's really what you guys were saying.
And that I love that, too. And I sort of love how it's reclaimed Valentine's Day in a way. My mom lives in Colorado. Hi, Mom. And she's flying in for the flash mob. She's very excited. And she said, well, what if you needed to have a date on Valentine's Day? I'm going to be staying with you. Said, no romance is more important than 1 Billion Rising for me. That's what V-Day is all about. And I just want to share one little thing about her as well, because she is a big, both my parents are very supportive, and they both inspire me to do good for the world. They do a lot of that. But when I was 22, I saw the Vagina Monologues for the first time, and I was in London, and I had just been in the Middle East, where I'd had an experience where the student said, you know, you can have sex with anyone, the Moroccan girl, and it sort of took me aback that the thought of sexual freedom had never crossed my mind before, being 20, 21 years old, and it just, oh, that, and that was her first thought as an American, that is my freedom, and it really, you know.
Wait a minute, you lost me there. So the gal in where said to you, you can have sex with anyone, and that was her perception of our culture?
Yes, in Marrakesh, Morocco. Yeah, and she was my age, and she said, oh, you're American, you get to have sex with anyone. And, of course, my humorous side thought, oh, well, not anyone. I'm pretty sure Johnny Depp's not going to call me back. But I just, it really struck me, you know, that thought of sexual freedom and how I had taken it completely for granted. You know, I was only 21. What did I know? And it never even thought to me that it would be an issue. And then a couple months later, I was in London, and my mom flew over. It was my 22nd birthday, and we went to go see the Vagina Monologues on the day, and it was the first time I had seen it, and I, too, was a little bit uncomfortable at first. You know, it's like watching a sex scene with your parents on TV. You get a little awkward, but it turned out to be this magical experience, and at the last monologue at that time was about childbirth, and Eve Ensler watching the birth of her grandchild and how powerful that was and how we need to pay reverence to the vagina because of what it does and how it brings life into the world. And my mom turned to me with big tears in her, I'm getting tearful myself, with big tears in her eyes, and she just stroked my back, and she just said, 22 years ago today. And that moment really clicked for me, that the connection that we have together as women and something so painful for her, she just remembers it as something beautiful because we have, you know, thankfully a really wonderful relationship. And it really stuck with me, the fact that this piece could speak. I thought it was hysterical and reverent and wonderful and touching. And for her, you know, she had gone through that. And even 22 years to the day after that, it still brought tears to her eyes, the imagery that brought forth in that birth monologue.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that's really inspiring. It can touch so many people in so many different ways, which I think.
Yeah, as a mom of four, I hear you loud and clear. Whenever their birthdays come up or anything, it's always a moment for sure. They're just four boys.
Four boys.
I'm just thinking, going, I need an epidural just sort of thinking about it. But
I had a good friend when her son turned, I think, like 12 or something. She said, wait a second, I'm the one who did all the work. I should get the presents today.
Exactly. I have a joke like that sometimes with my kids.
Like, yeah, that's true.
For anybody listening live, we're gonna cut off live here in about a minute. We're going to run long, probably going to run about 5 minutes long, maybe 10 minutes long to close the show out properly because we're out of time. You're going to cut off live, but that means you can just go back to the replay. There's a free link on blogtalkradio.com/besteveryou. The show will be up there, and you can click. It's free. Listen to the show. You can tweet the show. You can Facebook the show. You can share the show. Whatever you want to do, it's all free. So come back and listen to the end of the show. We're sorry. We're running on out of time, and I lost track of time. But I'm still back on epidural for a moment. Epidural and I need presents.
Well, I just want to say, everybody who can, go see Vagina Monologues. There is something for everyone there. And it is just such, and you do, you laugh and you cry, mm-hmm. and you just, it's just an amazing experience, and you just celebrate your womanhood, and you celebrate sexuality, and you celebrate birth, and you celebrate life, and it's a really uplifting, very powerful experience. And even if you're squirmish and you're squeamish and you can't even imagine, go anyway. I promise you it's worth it. I mean,
it's such a good time. And men also thoroughly enjoy it. And even my dad, I love you, Dad. When he saw it for the first time, I mean, bless his heart, he gets uncomfortable when I say the word tampon in the house. You know, I'm the only girl. Yeah. I have only brothers, and I came along and really shook everything up.
You should
be
in my house
left, right, and center.
With five boys and tampons. You know, it's like, what are these? You know, they come.
Yeah, he would literally, like, go the other way. What? I don't want to know. But he's such a good sport. And when he saw it for the first time, he just said, I think every man needs to see this show.
Yeah.
Every man.
Absolutely.
He learned so much, and he said, every man needs to see this. And I thought that was, to me, the biggest support I could get from him. That was pretty special. Every man should come, and, you know.
Yeah.
Every man definitely should.
Let's close on what 1 Billion Rising is. I know there's a mission statement here about what it is. Do you have that in front of you, Christina?
Yes. Do you want the short version?
The one where it's, I think it's probably got like 6 key points to what 1 Billion Rising is.
1 Billion Rising is a global call to action. 1 Billion Rising will make the earth move by uniting us through dance across every country. 1 Billion Rising is a celebration. 1 in 3 women on the planet will be raped or beaten in her lifetime. 1 billion women violated is an atrocity. 1 billion women dancing is a revolution.
And can I add a little bit?
Of course.
To it? Yeah, I've got, on my end here, I've got it's a global strike. And we all clarified that that's not a violent strike, but more of a spiritual strike. It's an invitation to dance and a call to men and women to refuse to participate in the status quo until rape and rape culture ends.
Mm-hmm.
And that's global, right?
Global.
Not global. It says here there's an act of solidarity demonstrating to women the commonality of their struggles and their power in numbers, a refusal to accept violence against women and girls as a given. I didn't know it was a given. Geez, I'm just shocked still at the numbers. And then it says a new time and a new way of being. Is that right? Is there anything else to add there? But a refusal to accept violence against women and girls as a given. That gets me right there.
I just think the other tagline I have here is that V-Day just wants the world to see our collective strength, our numbers, and our solidarity across the borders. It's a new time and a new way of being.
And tell us the websites one more time. 1billionrising.org.
Yes.
And people can follow V-Day on Twitter. It's just V-Day.
Yep.
And tell us one more time before we go what V-Day is.
V-Day is an organization. It's a charity, and their sole purpose is to raise awareness and funds to end violence against women, and they help women across the world. And with productions like the Vagina Monologues, you raise money through selling tickets and raffles and whatnot, and 10% goes to V-Day, and 90% goes to the local charity, the local beneficiary of your choice. So when there's a local production, the money is helping women in your area, which is very inspiring as well.
And this year it's their 15th anniversary, and they're inviting 1 billion women and those who love them to walk out, dance, rise up, and demand an end to the violence.
Right. And go to the website. Click on Start Join, and you can sign up that way.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also a movie that Eve Ensler made that is absolutely fantastic. It kind of shows what 1 Billion Rising might look like, and you can find that on the V-Day website, www.vday.org, # short film, or /.
I'll post that one on besteveryou.com. I'll post the link to that on besteveryou.com so people can see that, and it'll just link right up to where the video is, where the home is.
Very inspiring video.
Okay. All right. Anything else? This is a pretty serious call here. Katie, did you want to say anything before we go, and then we'll let Christina have the final
No,
thought.
Just to let you know, Christina, there's at least 10 flash mobs near me.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Can you join one?
I'm starting one, actually. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's fantastic.
Yeah. There's a lot of things happening around where I am, and that was really exciting to see. So thank you.
But does that include ballet dancing, Katie?
No,
ballet,
no.
Not belly.
No.
Ballet.
I've got the Bar Method Studios on board in LA. A couple Bar Method Studios. So
awesome.
You know, every
kind of dancing. All right.
Right.
I just want to thank you, Christina, for being with us. Very important phone call, and thank you so much again to Blog Talk Radio for featuring our show, and thank you so much to everybody who listened in the chat room and the phone lines here. We're just absolutely jam-packed. So, and Katie, thank you so much for all of your insights. Appreciate it. And Christina, best of luck to you in all of this. We wish you well in everything that you do. What a go-getter. Definitely.
Thank you so
absolutely.
Much. And thank
all right.
you so
thank
much for
you.
The time. I really
thank
appreciate
you.
It.
All right. Take care, everyone. And
okay.
All right.
Everybody rise.
Yeah. Hey, Katie, before we go, I'm going to destroy this last name. Is it Diane Nam or Diane Nam that we have tomorrow on the show? She's coming in at 1 o'clock. We have activist filmmaker Diane Nam. Do you know Christina? I don't want to destroy your name like that.
I don't know how to pronounce it.
I know. My Midwest self wants to go Nam, so I'm going to go with that, and she can correct me tomorrow. But we've got a show tomorrow, and then we have a very special show on Sunday at 1 o'clock as well. So we've got two shows over the next few days, and we'll post more about that on besteveryou.com. So thank you, everyone, for listening, and have a great day. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Best Ever You Show. Want more? Visit us at besteveryou.com. Be your best and keep it real. Confident, successful, caring, and beautiful every day with Best Ever You.